Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM webcast. Today's webcast will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. If you have questions regarding any of the information being covered in today's webcast, you may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. If you would like a copy of today's presentation, it is available to download by clicking on the Download Slides button located underneath the slide window. This webcast will introduce IBM's portfolio of management tools for Linux on System-Z and ZVM. We'll discuss how to integrate these tools to optimize the performance and availability of applications running in this environment. Our speakers for today's webcast are Tracy Dean, IBM Brand Manager, ZVM Tools, and Raymond Sun, Market Manager, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to turn the program over to our first speaker, Ray Sun.
Hello, my name is Ray Sun. I'm the Market Manager for IBM Tivoli Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux.
And I'm Tracy Dean. I'm the brand manager for a variety of systems and storage management tools from IBM for ZVM and Linux.
Together, we're going to introduce you to our portfolio solutions for ZVM and Linux, and then take you through some scenarios which will demonstrate how to use these tools to help you optimize the performance and availability of your applications that are running in a ZVM and Linux environment. We'll start by taking a quick look at the types of issues that our customers talk to us about. Next, we'll look at the Tivoli offerings in performance management and storage management, and then we'll go through some scenarios. So let's get started. Server virtualization, which is delivered through ZVM, offers many benefits. Hardware consolidation, like moving workloads from individual physical Linux servers to virtual servers on a ZVM host, this reduces power consumption, floor space requirements, as well as simplifying management. Ease of provisioning, being able to quickly and easily deploy a new Linux guest, creating and removing test environments. ZVM offers huge flexibility with high availability and robust security and reduced costs. We're actually seeing two types of customers who use ZVM. Those have been longtime VM customers and those that are new to VM. Longtime VM customers have seen the benefits of ease of provisioning of new virtual systems, creating test environments, running applications in virtual machine environments. New customers are coming to VM to run Linux guests. In either case, there's clearly a need for management tools which can reduce the total cost of ownership of the VM environment. Our customers note that there are really four major IT challenges. Speed of change, that is keeping up with technology that's constantly changing and evolving. Complexity, which is managing complex hardware and software environments with business-critical applications that span the environment. Compliance, being prepared for the inevitable audit required by regulatory compliance. And, of course, doing all these things at an acceptable cost. IBM Tivoli provides solutions to help you address these problems. IBM Tivoli offers Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux to provide you with monitoring to optimize the use of your resources, Operations Manager to automatically handle scheduled and non-scheduled events, Backup and Restore Manager to ease recovery of ZVM and guest data, and Tape and Archive Manager to manage your tape inventory and data archives. Tivoli has been delivering these systems management solutions since 2005. We've extended this family of tools through last year, culminating with the release of Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux in fourth quarter. So let's take a deeper look at Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux. Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux gives you the metrics you need to assess the performance of your ZVM host and its guests. In particular, you have information about your CP-owned resources from the VM Performance Toolkit and Linux information from agents running in the Linux guests. You can define thresholds on any of these data attributes, trigger visual alerts, as well as executing automated actions. Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux is part of the Omegamon family and shares the Tivoli Management Services infrastructure with other Omegamon monitors and IBM Tivoli monitors if they are already in place. As an alternative, you can start with Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux and add monitoring for other environments, but you continue to share the same infrastructure. So from a single console, you can see and manage multiple VM systems, ZOS systems, subsystems like CICS, IMS, and DB2, Linux, Unix, and Windows systems, and databases like UDB and Oracle. Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux provides the necessary data for performance management of the host, as well as providing deep data for managing Linux guests. The host data is collected by the Performance Toolkit and passed to Omegamon, which is running in a Linux guest. Linux guest data comes from lightweight agent code that runs on each guest. This is all passed to the Tivoli Management Services component, which resides either in a Linux guest or could run outboard of VM. So you could actually run the Tivoli Management Services, for example, on an Intel platform. Alerts, charts, reports, these are all displayed on a browser-based portal, which can be used both as an operations tool, monitoring the health of the hosts and guests, as well as an analyst tool with deep dive metrics. Here you see a view of the Tivoli Enterprise portal. On the left, you see the navigator, which shows you at a glance the health of your enterprise. You can see yellow icons, which denote a warning condition, and you can investigate that condition directly from here. You also have the ability to see charts and tables, as well as historical trend information. Finally, you can create linkages between these workspaces to help you navigate logically. This portal is highly customizable, and you can save workspaces which represent the most common views you need to resolve problems. So we only briefly touched on the breadth and depth of metrics covered. Here you can see a list of the categories of data that Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux can present. You may want to look at paging and spooling to see if you're running out of spool space. Perhaps check the page space utilization to see if you need to add page space. DASD gives you a view of your mini disks. LPAR utilization gives you a view of all your LPARs. Workload activity displays which user IDs are using the most CPU. If this is a Linux guest, you can drill down and see the processes on that guest that might be causing a problem. In addition to the VM metrics we've mentioned, for Linux, you also get additional metrics, so you can see overall CPU usage trends, process CPU percentages, disk space usage, disk I/O rates, virtual memory usage, network activity. So as you can see, you have an overall picture of your VM system and your guests. Here's a close-up of one of our default workspaces. As you can see, again on the left, we have a warning in real storage and a critical alert in LPAR. In the upper right, you can see which events are currently open. This list is filterable and sortable. You also have the ability to acknowledge an event to show that it's being worked. On the bottom, you see some charts showing DASD busy, CPU utilization, and storage usage. Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux became available last year. It gives you a wealth of information about your ZVM host and its Linux guests. You can manage your entire environment from a single console, both from an operational perspective or from an analyst perspective. Events can be easily defined and alerts triggered, or automated actions can be triggered. And keep in mind that Omegamon XE on ZVM and Linux integrates with a broader systems management portfolio. So with that, Tracy Dean will now talk to us about Operations Manager for ZVM.
Great. Thanks, Ray. I'm going to take you through the next four products and then take you through some scenarios that we have on how you can use the products together to manage your VM and Linux environment. So let's start with Operations Manager. Operations Manager is a product that's focused on automating operations and increasing productivity of your operators and your system programmers, for example. So Operations Manager will allow you to monitor consoles of your VM service machines, of your Linux guests, and being able to respond automatically to messages that are maybe coming across those consoles. It also allows your administrators to be able to view those consoles without logging on to the user IDs. So multiple people can view the same console simultaneously. When they're logged on, they can scroll back and forth, see the history of the console, issue commands if they're authorized back to that console, and really act as if they're logged on without really being logged on to the user ID. And on the next chart, just sort of goes through in words what I've said on the previous chart in terms of the feature and function that's in the product. So we have the ability to monitor the service machines and take a look at their consoles. You define rules to decide how you want to respond to messages that might be coming across a console if you wanted automated actions. And then administrators being able to view and interact with consoles in a full screen kind of environment where they can scroll back and forth, see historical data. You can also use Operations Manager to schedule events and actions. So you might have a regular event that you want to schedule, such as a backup to occur on a weekly or a nightly basis. So you can schedule those things in Operations Manager so that they'll occur automatically and unattended. Everything in Operations Manager is dynamically configurable. So you set up an initial configuration, but once that is set up, you can also modify it dynamically. So while the server is running, you can be adding new rules, you can be authorizing new users, you can be scheduling new events. Any of those things can be done dynamically as well. So Operations Manager, again, is all about automating the operations, scheduling your events to run unattended, scheduling regular events to occur, being able to monitor your service machines and take action automatically, and being able to debug problems by having multiple people view a console and see what's going on without actually logging onto it and interrupting the work that it's doing. And now let's move on to Backup and Restore Manager for ZVM. This product is designed, obviously, as the name implies, to allow you to back up your system and restore the pieces that you need as you need them. So it's designed to allow you to do system backups available for disaster recovery kinds of situations, but also be able to do more granular backups. You can back up individual Linux guests so that you can restore a Linux guest, for example, to a previous state or level. And for CMS and SFS data, you can actually back up and restore individual files. So if a file, a configuration file, gets corrupted or a user erases a file accidentally, you can very quickly recover it from the backup and just recover that individual file. You also have, of course, your management of your backup data. So when you're having these backups occur, you define how long you want to keep them, and Backup and Restore Manager will automatically age and prune the catalog to remove backup data that has expired based on your retention periods. So from an administrator perspective, Backup and Restore Manager allows you, the administrators, to perform the backup. They can perform full or incremental backups. And as an administrator, I can define what data I want to include in a particular backup job. So I might actually have a full system backup for DR purposes, but then I might have other backups that I schedule to run on other schedules that back up only a subset of the system. Because I have lots of flexibility when I define the backup job in terms of what data and what files I want to back up, Backup and Restore Manager provides a review function so that I can see what data would be backed up based on what I've included and excluded before I actually submit the job for real backup. On the restore side, end users can restore their own data without any administrator interaction. So users can have a full-screen interface, search through the catalog to find the data that that's been backed up for them, that they own. They can select the data that they want to restore, and have that data returned to them either directly on their disk or in their reader. Backup and Restore Manager provides integration with Tape Manager, another product we'll talk about in a few minutes here, so that if you have a tape management system such as Tape Manager, you can integrate your backup solution with your tape management solution and deal with tape mounts and management and expiration of your backup tapes. Backup and Restore Manager also includes optional compression and encryption exits. So out of the box, Backup and Restore Manager can perform compression if you wish. It also has encryption exits that are available for you to write your own routines. And then we also have a vendor written routine that can be plugged into these exit points, such as a routine that's available from VSOC software for encryption and decryption on Backup and Restore. On the next slide, I just wanted to touch base on how Backup and Restore Manager might work with Tivoli Storage Manager and help you decide which makes sense for your environment for backing up your Linux guests. So the picture shows that Backup and Restore Manager for your CMS, mini disk, and SFS data in the lower right-hand corner, we're doing individual file-level backups. So if an individual file gets destroyed in some way, you can restore that from the backup very easily. On the upper right, you can see the Backup and Restore Manager is backing up your Linux guest data at the image level. So if you need to restore an individual file on a Linux guest, you would need to restore the entire disk of the guest and then pull that file off and restore it on your system. Alternatively, if you need more granular backup and restore function for your Linux guest and want to be able to backup and restore individual files, then you would use Tivoli Storage Manager to do that. So Tivoli Storage Manager provides that granular backup and restore at the file level for Linux guest data, just like Backup and Restore Manager provides that for CMS and SFS data. If an image-level backup of your entire guest is sufficient for your needs, then Backup and Restore Manager can meet your needs there, and you wouldn't need Tivoli Storage Manager. So Backup and Restore Manager has lots of flexibility in terms of defining what data you want to include or exclude from a backup job. You can mix and match your source and target types. So, for example, I might have backed up some data that's on CMS mini disk, and I want to restore that to SFS or vice versa. And then, of course, from an administrator perspective, my productivity is improved because I do have this review function when I'm submitting a backup job, so that I can see what will be backed up before I actually submit the job. And then users, of course, are allowed to do their own restores without bothering administrators when they've accidentally erased a file or modified a file inadvertently. From an access control standpoint, Backup and Restore Manager allows users to only access the data that's owned by them for restore. So users are not allowed to see everything in the backup catalog. They only see what's available for their own restore function. And then Backup and Restore Manager will take care of automatically aging and pruning of the backup catalog. So items are deleted from the catalog as they expire, and the tapes are expired as well if you're backing up to tape. So that's a quick run-through of Backup and Restore Manager. Now I'm going to take you through just a couple of slides on Tape Manager, and then we'll move on to Archive and on to the scenarios. So Tape Manager is designed to manage both your tape devices and your tape volumes. So Tape Manager allows you to share your tape devices with other systems. So you're able to dynamically allocate devices and assign devices to your VM system. And it also allows you to manage the actual tapes themselves. So you're managing tapes, whether they're in an ATL or a VTS, and you're managing tapes that are mounted through an operator through a manual mount drive. Tape Manager adds access control, so users only have access to the tapes that you've given them access to. Typically, if you're using an ATL or a VTS, if they have access to one tape in the ATL, they technically have access to all of them. Tape Manager adds another level of security on top of that to allow you to define your catalog of tapes and give users access to only the tapes that they need. Tape Manager also has the ability to perform a data security erase function. This is important for customers who have sensitive data on tapes And when that tape expires, we need to make sure that that tape is completely erased before it's added to the scratch pool and perhaps mounted by another user as a scratch tape. So Tape Manager provides that function as well. If you're using DFSMS RMM on ZOS for your tape catalog of ZOS tapes, then you can also use this the same catalog for your VM tapes as well. So Tape Manager can either have its own catalog of VM tapes on VM, or it can point to RMM on ZOS as the catalog of tapes that's shared by ZOS and VM. When users mount tapes, if you're going to an ATL or a VTS to issue the mount, Tape Manager will work with DFSMS RMS on VM to mount the tape. If you're doing manual mount drives, we'll do all the interaction with the operator on behalf of the user to ask for the tape to be mounted. We'll make sure when the operator has mounted the tape that it's the correct tape using the standard label on the tape. And we'll also make sure that it's mounted in the correct mode, whether it's read or read-write mode. So all of that validation is done before we turn the tape over to the user for processing. So again, the next slide just kind of breaks down the function into three major areas: managing the tapes themselves, determining whether they are free or used, what their retention period is, whether they need data security erase performed, and who has access to them. So we're creating a catalog of tapes and managing access to those tapes. Then Tape Manager also manages the devices. We can use dynamic device assignment, or we can use dedicated tapes as tape devices as well. And then we manage the mount request on behalf of the user or the application that requested the tape. So we'll support standard label, non-label, and bypass label processing requests, and interact with RMS on VM for ATLs and VTSs, or interact with the operator for manual mount devices. Benefits of Tape Manager, I've touched on some of these already. Automating the tape operations by interacting with the operator for you, controlling your tape access, expiring tapes based on the retention periods that you've set, all those things are done for you in Tape Manager. And then being able to interact with the operator so that we make sure that the operator has done their job correctly with mounting tapes is also a great benefit as well. And then integration with RMM, as I've discussed, allowing you to have your catalog in one location in RMM on ZOS, but have Tape Manager interact with RMM to get catalog information, and then Tape Manager will manage the devices on VM. So that's a quick run-through of Tape Manager. I'm going to move on to Archive Manager now. Archive Manager is based on a lot of the same technology as Backup and Restore Manager. So you can archive data that's on CMS Minidisk, NSFS, or on EKD DASD. And again, we do file-level archives for CMS and SFS data and image-level archives of other, for perhaps, guest data that's residing on EKD DASD. When we archive the data, just like with Backup and Restore Manager, we can archive to tape or we can archive to disk. And Archive Manager, the major difference here is Archive Manager is designed to be used by end users to manage their own disk space. So users are allowed to archive an individual file or a group of files and be able to clean them off of their A disk, for example, free up some space if they're large files or infrequently accessed files, put them in an archive that's either on tape or perhaps cheaper disk somewhere, and then recall them as they need to. So just like Backup and Restore Manager, Archive Manager has a full screen interface for users to find the data that's theirs in the catalog and request a file be recalled. So Archive Manager is designed for your end users to manage their disk space by archiving individual files or groups of files, whereas Backup and Restore Manager is designed for your administrators to be able to create backups of the system on a regular basis. Again, of course, we have integration with Tape Manager as well. In this case, if you want to archive data to tape, then we'll work with Tape Manager to issue those tape mounts, find scratch tapes, et cetera. So again, Archive Manager allows users to archive things as they need to. It can be done on a regular basis, or in most cases, users just issue an archive command to archive an individual file or group of files. When the user does request an archive, if the archive is going to tape, the Archive Manager server will create a copy of what the user wants to archive on a staging disk so that the user is not sitting there waiting for a tape mount before they can actually erase the file from the RAID disk and create the space that they need. So it's put on a staging disk by the archive server and then put on tape in asynchronously in the background. Again, each user controls can only recall the data that's owned by him or her, so you don't have users out there scanning the catalog looking at other users' data. And then as administrators, you have the authority to define where users can archive data and how long they can keep it. So you create archive groups, and you give users access to those groups to be able to archive data. For example, power users might be able to archive to disk, whereas general users might only be able to archive to tape. So that's kind of an overview, what Ray covered with OmegaMon and what I've covered with operations, backup, tape, and archive. Now let's look at how we might use some of these products together to actually manage a VM and Linux environment. The first scenario is a very basic scenario on adjusting resources for a Linux guest. So what happens is in a Linux guest, for example, you might suddenly find that one particular guest is running with very high virtual CPU. And if you have a rule in OmegaMon or a situation in OmegaMon defined that watches for this particular measurement, then OmegaMon will trigger that situation when it reaches the threshold you've defined. And it could automatically send a message to Operations Manager saying, here's a problem I need you to do something about. Operations Manager would receive that message. It would trigger its own rule based on that message to do something, whatever you've defined, to fix that guest. So it might do a quick disk, or it might do a set share to tune that guest how you might like. So all of this is done in the background and automatically for you with situations that you've set up in OmegaMon and rules that you've set up in Operations Manager. But it's all viewable from the TEP. So as an operations person, I'm looking at the TEP. I can see the situation get triggered. I can see it then get resolved, and it's maintained in the log that the situation happened. So everything is viewable from the TEP, but I, as an administrator, didn't have to do anything to actually fix the situation because I've defined rules and situations to watch for it and take action automatically. So the next slide is just to kind of take you through the steps of how this occurs. So step one is the performance toolkit is gathering monitor data from CP and being able to gather that data and format it. It's making that data in step two available to OmegaMon, which is running in the Linux guest as a VM agent. So the VM agent gathers the data from Performance Toolkit. The Linux agents, in the meantime, that are running on the individual guests are also gathering lots of metrics about those guests. And all of that data is being fed in step three up to the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server. So the TEMS then gathers all the data and analyzes it and monitors for situations to be triggered. So all the situations are analyzed and monitored on the TEMS. When a situation is triggered based on a threshold that you've defined, then step four says that I'm going to send that situation back down to the VM agent and say, here's a take action function for you to execute for me based on a triggered situation. And the TEMS is also going to send that data up to the TEP so that I, as an operator, monitoring the system from the TEP can see the situation being triggered and see the metrics that are available. So now the VM agent has been told to take an action. The VM agent in step five triggers Operations Manager to take a particular action to fix the guest, and the Operations Manager in the continuation of step five then perhaps makes a change to guest CPU allocation to fix the high CPU consumption. So all of these things are happening under the covers, and all that the administrator or operator sees is sitting on the Tivoli Enterprise portal in a web browser, seeing these things pop up and disappear and be added to the log as situations occur. The next scenario I have is a basic scenario that a lot of customers running VM need. Many VM service machines have a log disk where they're logging their activity for the day or the week. And many times these log disks can become full in the middle of a day, many to be dealt with. An operations manager can help you do this in an automated way. So what happens in this particular scenario is I've chosen Dermaint as my example service machine. Dermaint is a standard VM server, the directory maintenance server. And Dermaint actually runs an hourly check to see how its disk space is doing. And if it's reached a threshold, then it issues a warning message that says, my disk space is beyond 75% full, for example. We have Operations Manager monitoring the Dermaint console, and when Operations Manager sees that message come across the console, the threshold message come across the console, then Operations Manager can take an action automatically that would go out and find the log files from previous days that are on the Dermaint disk, send those log files to another user ID. That user ID could then archive the log files using Archive Manager. Operations Manager, the action would erase the log files from the Dermaint disk once they've been successfully sent. And then the disk threshold is now below, the disk full is now below the threshold again. So now you're back down to 10% perhaps or less of disk full. So again, all of this is handled automatically, and you're really dealing with problem prevention rather than simple detection. So we're not just showing you the message that Dermaint is running out of disk space. We can do something about it automatically, fix the problem, and everything is taken care of and logged for you in Operations Manager on when that was triggered and how it was handled. The next scenario I have is being able to use Backup and Restore Manager and users being able to restore files that they might have accidentally erased. So as an administrator, I might perform a full and an incremental backup on a regular basis. I, as an end user on VM, are working with some files on my disk. I accidentally erase or corrupt a file, and I need to retrieve it from backup. So I can bring up the full screen interface, and I can filter. I have filter and sorting options to allow me to find the file that I'm looking for. If I have, I might have multiple versions of that file in the catalog because I might have the copy of the file that was backed up last week. And then in an incremental backup, I might have a copy that was backed up yesterday that had changed from the one last week. So I can search through and find the date of the file that I'm looking for and request a restore of that file to my reader. Again, no administrator needed to be called or bothered to deal with this. The user was able to bring up the full screen interface, find the file they were looking for through filter and search options and sorting options, and then restore that file directly to their reader. The next scenario is the ability to backup. In this particular case, we backup Linux guests and schedule it on a regular basis. So being able to define a schedule in Operations Manager to do a backup on a regular basis of a Linux guest or perhaps multiple Linux guests in succession. So I don't want to bring down all my Linux guests and back them up all at once. I want to be able to backup one. When that one completes, I want to be able to backup the next one. So to do this, you would define a schedule in Operations Manager to initiate the backups at specific times or intervals. And I might have multiple schedules to allow me to backup just one guest at a time so that I'm not quiescing or shutting down multiple guests at the same time. In each schedule, the action associated with that would be a routine that would shut down or quiesce the Linux guest in some way. Send a request to Backup and Restore Manager to backup the specific mini disks for just that guest. So we're not doing a full system backup, we're just doing a backup of that particular guest. Operations Manager would be notified when the backup is complete, and then Operations Manager would resume the guest. So Operations Manager shut down the guest, called Backup and Restore Manager to backup the data for that particular guest, and then resumed the guest when the backup was complete. And again, I can use a function called Conflict in Operations Manager to say I only want to run this particular schedule when the previous schedule completes so that I'm not shutting down multiple guests at the same time. And again, all of this is now done automatically on a regular schedule without administrator or programmer interaction. So those are just a few of the scenarios that that we have available that we can take customers through. We can schedule demos if you wanted to see some of these scenarios as well. And all of them involve using a variety of the tools that we've talked about here. So we've talked about OmegaMom, we've talked about Operations Manager, Tape Manager, Backup and Restore Manager, and Archive Manager, and how you can use those products together to help you automate daily tasks, deal with predictable situations automatically, and allow your administrators and programmers to get on with real work rather than dealing with interruptions of predictable situations. We've provided some reference information here at the end, a website that can get you links to all of the products, including their publications, their prerequisites, their announcement letters, and then the email addresses for Ray and I as well if you have follow-up questions. So we certainly thank you for your attention today, and thank you for your time, and we'll stay on for questions as we go.
Thank you, Tracy and Ray. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the presentation portion of today's webcast. We would like to make you aware of additional webcasts that may be of interest to you. Please visit our website at www.ibm.com/software/SystemZ to register for upcoming webcasts or to replay this webcast or previously broadcast webcasts. If you will take a moment to provide us with your feedback by answering the questions now appearing in the slide window, it would be greatly appreciated. Now we will move on to the question and answer session. If you haven't submitted your questions, please do so now. You may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. Please note that we will cover as many questions as time allows. If you are viewing this webcast in replay mode, please submit your questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question, and they will be answered in 48 hours. At this time, I would like to turn the program back over to the speakers for the question and answer session.
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining today and listening to the presentation. This is Tracy Dean. I'm going to be moderator as we go through the questions that you've submitted. We have several questions already. I encourage you to continue to submit questions. We'll continue to see them as you submit them, even as we answer the ones that we already have. We may not have time to get through all the questions today. If we don't get to your question, if we run out of time, or some of the questions are specific and we need more information from you to understand the context of your question, we'll contact you offline if we don't answer it live today. So please don't worry if you don't hear the answer to your question. We'll definitely contact you for follow-up. The first question I'd like to do is, we have a couple of questions about OmegaMon and the Linux agents and the accuracy of CPU utilization and the overhead of the Linux agents. And so I'm going to turn that over to Bob Neal from IBM to answer those couple of questions. Bob?
Okay, thanks, Tracy. One of the questions was, what is the overhead of the agents? And there are two agents, as Ray explained. There's the one that measures for ZVM that runs on one Linux guest, and there's also a Linux agent that you run on every Linux guest that you want to monitor. And in our studies right now, what we have seen so far is somewhere between 0.6 and 0.7% is the overhead of the agent. So it's always been less than 1%. Second question was the accuracy of the CPU utilization times. And again, with the ZVM agent, you're looking at how much CPU utilization there is from the VM side, and that's getting its data from the CP monitor. So it's what VM thinks is being used is as accurate as VM has always seen it. From the Linux side, I know there have been some changes. Right now, the CPU monitoring on the Linux side is not very good at monitoring utilization of the CPU, and there have been some changes put in to greatly enhance that in Red Hat 5 and also in SLES 10. So when the agents support those levels of Linux, we'll be using that at that level of accuracy. Right now, the agent is monitoring at the same level that the Linux CPU is monitored. So it isn't completely accurate on SLES 9 level. All right, Tracy, I think those were the OmegaMon questions.
Okay, and there's more coming in, Bob, so I'll have you look at those while I answer a couple of backup and tape manager questions.
Okay.
So one of the questions was comparing Backup and Restore Manager to TSM, or Tivoli Storage Manager. And the answer is that TSM and Backup and Restore Manager are separate products, separate tools, depending on the needs of your system. So So Backup and Restore Manager will back up at the file level your VM data, your CMS and your SFS data that's residing on Minidisk or in SFS. TSM will back up at the file level your Linux guests. So if you need file level restore of Linux guests, then you need Tivoli Storage Manager, TSM. If you really only need an image level backup of your Linux guest, then Backup and Restore Manager can meet that need. So Backup and Restore Manager will do file level backups of VM, known VM type of data, and it will do image level backup of guest data such as Linux guests, CSE guests, ZOS guests, any other guests that are running that have non-CMS or non-SFS data. So if you back up a mini disk that has Linux data on it and you need to restore a file on that mini disk, you would need to restore the entire mini disk, not the DASB volume, just the mini disk. So that's kind of how TSM and Backup and Restore Manager compare. Either one could meet your needs for your Linux data, depending on the level of granularity you need. And for your VM data, you would need Backup and Restore Manager. And then there was a couple of questions about Backup and Restore Manager and Linux guests and the accuracy or the integrity of the data if a Linux guest is running. We certainly would suggest you're going to get fuzzy data that if you don't shut down the Linux guest. So what we suggest and what we have in some demo scenarios that we can do if you want to schedule a separate call is the ability to use Operations Manager to schedule a backup. And part of that backup job in Operations Manager is to shut down the Linux guest, call Backup and Restore Manager to perform the backup. Operations Manager will get notified when the backup is complete, and then Operations Manager has a scheduling function to bring the Linux guest back up. And you could do that with multiple Linux guests, where you have making sure that the first Linux guest is complete, and then you would move on and shut down the next Linux guest, so you'd never have more than one guest down at a time. Now, if you're doing something like running DB2 databases on your Linux guests, then you should really be using DB2, the backup function in DB2, to back up your data. Because then DB2 is very aware and can make sure that everything is in sync before it triggers the backup. So you actually should be using the backup function in DB2 no matter what platform you're running on to back up data. But the other Linux data can be backed up with Backup and Restore Manager, and we suggest that you shut down the guest to get a clean backup and not have a fuzzy data backup. And then there was another question about Tape Manager, a couple of questions about that. There was a question about Tape Manager and STK silos. Today, with the product as it GAs today, we do not support STK. We only support IBM ATL-type silos. But we are working on support for STK. We do have some information from STK, and we're working with them to get the documentation we need to write that interface. So we expect to have that out in second quarter of this year. If you're interested in STK support and want to participate in a beta, I would certainly encourage you to contact me offline, and we can certainly get you involved in that. And then there was another question about Tape Manager and encryption. Tape Manager does not really do anything in terms of writing to the tapes other than the data security erase function that I talked about. So if you're doing encryption on tape, Tape Manager will certainly tolerate that, but we rely on the application to actually do the encryption on the tape. So, for example, if you want to encrypt your backup tape, Backup and Restore Manager has the encryption exit, and we have a vendor that has some code that you can plug in there to do encryption. And so Backup and Restore Manager is doing the encryption for you on the tape, and then Tape Manager is just tolerating that. Tape Manager is not really aware of the contents of the tape. It's only aware of the metadata about the tape, the vol sphere, the expiration date, who has access to it, whether it requires a data security erase, those types of things. So you really need to rely on your application to do the encryption when it's necessary on your tape. And then, let's see, we're moving through a couple of other questions here. There's a question about a glossary of terms for things like TEMS and TEPS. I know all the Tivoli terminology in the monitoring space can get a little bit confusing. The bottom line is there are multiple components to the monitoring infrastructure from Tivoli, but all of the products include the infrastructure plus their unique agents. So, for example, Omega Mon XC on ZVM and Linux. includes the same infrastructure that other Tivoli monitoring products include, other Omegamon products and other IBM Tivoli monitoring products on distributed platforms. It includes that same infrastructure code, and that it includes its own unique agents for VM and Linux on Z, in the case of Omegamon on XZ on ZVM and Linux. So there are several components that are part of that infrastructure, and if you go look out on the product websites, you could probably find a glossary of terms out there. We'll certainly get back to you with more detail offline and give you a more specific pointer. Okay, let me look through and see what else we want to work on here. We've got several more questions coming in, so I'm reading them live as we go through. There was a question about IBM Director. IBM Director doesn't have, there's no specific integration points between IBM Director and these products. IBM Director has a slightly different role. IBM Director is designed to actually monitor more the hardware, not the virtual resources, not the running system, but the hardware that you have out there allocated to your system today. So it's designed to help you monitor and track that hardware. And then, of course, the ZVM Center component of IBM Director allows you to clone or create new Linux guests more easily by creating templates of different types of Linux guests that you want to create and then cloning those. So that's kind of the role of IBM Director. There's no specific integration points, although certainly with Operations Manager has plenty of opportunity for integration points with the action processing function. There's a question about, there's another question about Sun SDK. I've answered that. IBM Tape Manager does require, if you're using an ATL, an IBM ATL or VTS, that you use DFSMS RMS on VM to do that. So we interact with the drive when it's in an ATL or a VTS through DFSMS RMS. So that's a free component of the VM operating system, but you do need to have that installed and active to be able to use Tape Manager with an ATL or a VTS. There's a question here about Operations Manager and working with Prop. Operations Manager is really designed to be a more function-rich replacement for Prop. We really wouldn't recommend that you run both. You're really duplicating your rules and actions. Operations Manager has additional functions on top of Prop that Prop does not have. The ability, for example, to have one message console message trigger more than one rule and more than one action, being able to schedule functions, those kinds of things. So there's several functions in Operations Manager that are in addition to what Prop provides, and we really wouldn't recommend that you run both on the same system. I think it would get confusing in terms of keeping track of who's running the rules and the actions. There's a question here about Operations Manager and bringing the guest down and making a flash copy. Absolutely, you could use Operations Manager just like we're doing today in the demo to bring the guest down, and then you'd have to write an action routine that would actually make the flash copy and then use some sample code that we've already got in our demo system for bringing the guest back up once the flash is complete, and then the data can be moved to tape in the background. There's a couple of questions about coordinating Operations Manager with job scheduling on ZOS. Today there's no specific integration point out of the box for using like a Tivoli Workload Scheduler or other functions workload scheduling functions on ZOS and coordinating those with Operations Manager. But certainly any platform that can reach, the VM system through a messaging function can trigger things in Operations Manager. So if you wanted to have one master on ZOS and it had the ability to send a message to Operations Manager, then it could trigger a schedule or trigger an action in Operations Manager from there. Okay, I'm still reading through questions here. Bob, there's a question here. I'm going to turn to you. saying, does the VM Performance Toolkit interface to OmegaMon XC run on Red Hat? And I think I know the answer to that, but I'm going to let you answer that.
This is actually Matt Colloway. It will run on the Performance Toolkit itself doesn't really require any of the Linux versions or releases. It can collect some level of data from all of them. The OmegaMon XC on ZVM and Linux, the agent for ZVM requires either a SLES 9 or SLES 10 or Red Hat 5. We were doing some testing on right now, and it should run on Red Hat 5. On Red Hat 4, no. But the Linux monitoring agent itself will run on all releases that are out there for Linux. So, we had a question 17 from USDA saying, wondering whether or not the there's DASDI usage on a per Linux instance basis, and the answer to that is yes for the monitoring. For number 15, this is from the state of Oregon. The question that people are asking is, how or where would I be able to monitor OSA data, especially if I'm running a somewhere where I'm running both ZVM and ZOS, or if I'm running the OmegaMon XC on ZVM and Linux and I'm running the OmegaMon for ZOS product. The OSA data right now is best monitored by the OmegaMon for Mainframe Networks product. It does a pretty thorough job of that. We do have a requirement we'll be looking at to see, do we want to coordinate that and be able to launch back and forth. We have some portion of the data within the ZVM product, but the Mainframe Network product has a very extensive coverage of it. And then we've got the general issue that we have in this space. There's both the products Tracy has gone over that provide the basic system management capability on ZVM, and then you have the OmegaMon product that gives you extensive performance monitoring and management. In the same space, IBM has the IBM Director Suite, which gives you a set of, I would call it a very nice broad set of system management-like capabilities. In this particular space, they do some very nice provisioning for Linux guests. They have some, I use the term limited, but I don't mean that in any kind of a derogatory fashion. They do provide some basic monitoring capability, but it's not an integrated monitoring solution, so it doesn't really allow you to leverage monitoring across a broader set of monitoring needs. It also has little or no ZVM data at this point either. So ITM is viewed essentially as this is where you move to when you want to do more effective and broader monitoring. If you want to do ZVM system management, you're going to need the products Tracy was talking about, because ITM Director really doesn't play in that particular space. So, and I'm not sure that we have additional questions for the OmegaMon product.
No, I see several that I need to probably address at this point, Max, so thank you.
Cool.
So there's a question about sharing tape drives and sharing the RMM catalog with ZOS. The question was, I assume that the ZOS system has to be running as a VM guest, and actually that's not true. When we share the RMM tape catalog, we can share that catalog with a ZOS system running anywhere that we can reach through an IP connection. So Tape Manager includes a piece of code that runs on VM, and Tape Manager also includes a piece of code that we ask you to install on ZOS that's a started task. And then there's an IP connection between those two pieces of code, and that code that we ship for ZOS actually interfaces with the RMM started task using standard documented APIs. So we're not going in and messing with bits and bytes of the RMM catalog. We're going through the standard APIs, and you can do this sharing between any VM and ZOS system that can reach each other through an IP connection. And then the actual sharing of devices, actually you need to have them on separate LPARs At this point, there is a limitation that you can't share with a ZOS guest that's running on the same system for sharing a tape device. If you want to share tape devices, they need to be a ZOS system on a separate LPAR or on a separate machine altogether. Okay, and then there's a question about ECKD versus SCSI. Correct today that we will support SCSI DASD if it is treated as mini disk. So if you're using the VM support that is available today to format SCSI DASD as CMS mini disks, and we are reading CMS data off of those mini disks, we don't care what the underlying DASD is. What we don't support today with SCSI is the ability to do image backups, for example, of Linux guests that are residing on SCSI, simply because we just don't have, we're not using them, the CMS interfaces. We have to get down and read the data on the device. We don't have that support yet. But it is something that we are working on, and so it's a known requirement, and we'd certainly like to talk to you more about that if that's a hard requirement for you. I'm going to just, for ON24, there's a couple of comments here that the audio is fading or that the webcast is fading out, so I'm going to let you address those in the background as we continue. There's another question about Director and whether it's licensed separately. Director is a separate product. It does come free. The base function of Director comes free. It's available on many platforms, distributed platforms, as well as VM. And then the VM Center is a separately licensed feature that does have a charge associated with it. So the ability to clone Linux guests is a separate feature of Director that does have a charge. But the base Director function is free, and it is a separately licensed product. There's a question about if you do backup and restores and you have tape devices, must you have Tape Manager in order to use those devices? And the answer is no. Backup and Restore Manager has some configuration information for very simple manual mount devices where you just want to send a message to the operator to mount a tape, for example. And then it also has exit points if you want to integrate with some other tape management system. Of course, if you want to integrate with our Tape Manager product, then it's just a simple setting that you set the flag to indicate that you're using Tape Manager, and all the integration is done for you. But you do have the ability to integrate with other tape management systems through exit points or to just interact with an operator that's mounting on manual devices by just configuring how you talk to your operator. Let's see. There's a couple of questions about URL, so we'll get to you those separately offline. There's a question about interfacing Operations Manager with the Tivoli Enterprise Console, the tech. There is no out-of-the-box integration there, but certainly you could create an action and operations manager that would that we can look at how we would send something to the tech. So that's something we'd have to look into in more detail. But certainly in operations manager, you can use the action function to create an exec that will really do anything that you want to trigger actions on other systems. I think we're getting close to running out of time here. So I think the other remaining questions, we need more detail from you, and we'd like to just talk to you offline to make sure we understand the context of your question. I'll refresh one more time to see if there's any more questions. Okay, I see no more questions. All right, well, thank you for joining us today. And for those of you that didn't hear the answer to your question, we'll definitely contact you offline to have more discussion to understand the context and to get you follow-up URLs or specific answers. Thanks very much.